All right. Well, if you're ready for the Word of God, turn to John, the Gospel of John. I got two Bible verses I'm going to read to you this morning. Very, very familiar verses from the Word of God. Nothing, no great big revelation, no great big secret verse found in some chapter that no one ever has ever heard of before. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this: "The thief comes only, the thief comes only." The only reason he comes, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The only reason. Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." One more verse, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for this time of worship. I thank you for the being able to assemble ourselves together to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That's all we've been asked to do, according to the Word of God, is to lift up the name of Jesus. And you will draw all men unto yourself. So Lord, today, may we continue to lift up your name. May we continue to lift up your name in the workplace, in the marketplace. Wherever we are, may we lift up the name of Jesus. Why? Because you will draw all men and to yourself. So right now, Lord, I ask you to bless the remainder of this service. Bless this time in your word. Change our hearts. Change our direction. Point us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. The title of the message this morning is, I love this life. Yeah. I love this life. The two Bible verses that I read you, we know those verses. We quote those verses. They're familiar verses in the kingdom of God. If anyone has been in church for any amount of time, you've heard those verses shared or read, right? You've heard them shared. You've heard them read. And in both of them, we learn that Jesus comes to bring life. He comes to bring life. He says in John 14, 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life." We misquote that a lot of times. We'll say Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." What that tells me is that life is the life we should be pursuing. That life is the life we should want in our lives. We use this verse a lot and we focus on the way and we focus on the truth part. But Jesus also said he is the life. He is the life. Now think about that for a moment. He says, "I am the life." Not a life, but the life. The title of the sermon is simply, "I love this life." The life that Christ gives me. The life that Jesus gives me. Pastor Mark, for the last 3 weeks, has been challenging us to live a life of no compromise. And if you've not listened to them, I highly suggest you start at week one. And we do have podcasts. They are working. For those that's been struggling to get into work, we hit a mute button when we weren't supposed to hit a mute button, and we dropped it into something it gets dropped to, so it populates, so we can all listen to it, but it's fixed. And if you just want the audio portion, you can use the podcast, and obviously you can watch it on Facebook as well, the videos. But I want you to listen with your heart and your head. So many times we just listen with our head and not our heart. Right? So many times we just listen. That was good. As Pastor Frank used to say, we get out of the parking lot. That's a good service. What are you preaching on? I have no idea. I don't have any idea what he preached on, but it was good. It was a good service. Man, it was a good message. What was it? I don't know. Somebody said amen. So it had to be good. Right? Had to be good. I want you to listen with your head and your heart. I say that because many times we only listen with our head and we don't let it get to our heart. And the heart's where it really changes us. But anyway, so as the last few weeks I've been pondering all that's going on in our world and how it's been, for the most part, negatively impacting many people right here in this sanctuary, right here in this valley. Forget the world, it's negatively impacting those of us in this building, if we're being honest. I watch on social media where I see families and friends fighting over two men that don't even know your name. They don't even know your name, and you're fighting over him. Shame on us. We're creating separation in our own families. In our very own families. families. We're creating separation. It's terrible. I want you to think back for a moment what we just read in John 10:10. What's a thief come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Only. The only time he shows up is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Guess what? He's working overtime right now. He's working overtime in our lives. He's working overtime in the world around us. Why? He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. We got to be careful. And right now, he's using politics. He's using masks. He's using vaccines, right? Can I vent for a second? I would love to turn the TV on and not see somebody get a shot in the arm. Just once. No shot. I know what it looks like, and every time I watch it, it looks painful. You got some Herculean nurse. The chills on me, all right? But we're separating everybody on the planet. They're trying to separate. They're trying to steal from us. They're trying to kill from us. And they're trying to destroy not them, but the enemy. And he's using all those things right now to distract us. To put our eyes on something else. Steal, kill, and destroy. And it's working. Rather than find reasons for division, look for reasons that should unite us. The Word of God tells us our adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, these two verses also go on to tell us, but Jesus comes to bring us life. He comes to bring us life. Those are two big differences. Can I be honest with you? Those are two big differences. They're monumental differences. Give me life. If this was Jeopardy, you would all say, give me life for 500. Right? I don't know who would pick 500, steal, kill, and destroy. Right? I wouldn't pick that. I want life. I choose life. So with all the ugliness and all the division and all the separation, God has been challenging me the last few weeks to really look at my life. Not from an inventory standpoint, not from what I don't have, but for what I do have in my life. We all can agree we could have more. Me and Kevin. Nobody else wants more? How many of you right now would wish you had more? More money, more hair, more sleep, more time, more something. We all agree. There's something we want more of. Man, we can all agree we wish we had more, but have you ever thought you also could have less? Not really, but... Everyone in the sanctuary watching us online, if you're really honest, we're all really blessed people. We're really blessed people. We really are. I mean, we think we have it bad, but we really don't have it bad. Right? We really don't have it bad. I've concluded that what you think about, you attract. When you complain, you get more things to complain about, right? It's true. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Doesn't say negativity, doesn't say political division, doesn't talk about all that stuff. It says think on these things. If you're going to think on something, think on these things. Choose life. Choose life. And these two verses from our text today, both are in red. If you have a King Jimmy Bible, it's in red. It means Jesus said these words. Jesus speaking, he comes to bring us life. In Sherman High School, I didn't learn all the definitions to all the words, but they did teach me how to use a dictionary. Just throwing this out there, there's a rumor that if you went to Scott, you didn't even learn how to use a dictionary. Just a rumor. It's just a rumor. It's what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing it out there, right? If you're a chicken hawk, you may not even learn how to use a dictionary. But we did at Sherman High School. Thank you for my edumacation. So I looked up the word life. The period of time when a person is alive. The experience of being alive. I like that. With that definition, I want to look at these two verses again and insert the definition into the verse rather than the word life. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they have the experience of being alive and have it abundantly. Changes the verse. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the experience of being alive. Gosh, man, no one comes to the Father except they come through me. The experience of being alive. Jesus has come so that we can experience being alive. In Him, the Bible says in Acts 17:28, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him, we find life. In Him, we find hope. In Him, we find purpose. And let me tell you, it's an amazing and a fun ride. It is. It's a fun ride. I mean, how many of you like roller coasters? Don Carson likes roller coasters. Did we ride the Diamondback together? We did? Well, we're in the same line. Maybe we rode at the same time. I love roller coasters. I don't like the hill always. I don't like that. I mean, the tick, tick, tick is longer now because they're like 400 feet high. Right? And then they drop you at 90-degree angle at like 90 mile an hour, right? And once I get over the height, and the rest of the ride's awesome. Then it stops. You're like, wow, all 10 seconds. 2-hour wait, 10-second ride. Glory! Glory! But it's an amazing ride. And we get off that ride. I'm like, woohoo! That was amazing! I'm here to tell you, this life with Jesus is amazing! It's a fun ride. This is a lot of fun. This is fun. Guess what? We're still on it. We're still on this ride. In Christ, I find my identity. I find my character. It's all tied to Jesus. Who we are and what we do is connected to who Jesus is and what He did. He is my redemption. He has forgiven my sins. I'm a new creation with a new life. Old things are passed away. Darkness no longer reigns over me. Defeat can no longer reign over me. Death can no longer reign over me. I have eternal life. I am a child of God. I have access to God. I have rights within the kingdom of God. I have peace that passes understanding. I can cast all my cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for me. I have the hope of heaven. I have been set free. I love this life. Because He gives it to us. He allows us to participate. This is His kingdom. I love the experience of being alive in Jesus Christ. My experience of being alive makes sense when He is leading me, when He is guiding me, and when He is directing me. The idea that a Christian can have a small degree of Christ in his life, but still live as he pleases, is not only wrong, it's dangerous. You can't have just a little Jesus. This Jesus is not a backpack, folks. You don't just grab Him and walk out the door. He is your life. He directs you, He leads you, He guides you. It's not an addition to your life. He is your life. He didn't say in those verses, I come to add to your life. He said, I am the life. And it's found in me. It's found in me. I saw this tweet this week from Robert Coleman. One living sermon is better than 100 explanations. Gosh. Our lives are living sermons. Our lives every day is a sermon being preached. We're not even using words. What are they seeing? Are they seeing hope? Are they seeing opportunity? Are they seeing faith? Are they seeing chaos and disorder and dysfunction? What are they seeing? One of my favorite Stephen Curtis Chapman songs is More to This Life. There's more than 9 to 5. There's more to that. There's more than getting up just to face another day. There's more to that. There's more to this life. So much more. And maybe you're just in a routine. your life is just a routine. You get up, you drink a cup of coffee, you start your day, you turn on the TV at the same time, you go to work at the same time, you come home at the same time, you eat lunch at the same place, you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. The only thing changes in your life is every 90 days your company makes you change your password. Right? Some of you, that's the most dramatic change in your routine you have. You have to change your password. Mine's actually due. I got the notification this week. Your password expires in 14 days. Right? Some of you, that's the most out of routine moment is when you just change your password. I'm here to tell you this morning, this life that Jesus comes to give us, it's not a routine. It doesn't mean there's not things that we do consistently, but this is not a routine where it's religious acts. It's a life of faith, a life of hope, a life of opportunity that he brings to our lives. So today we will try to see those missing elements that we might be missing in our lives to make us really love this life. Not the natural life. I'm so thankful for everything I have in natural. I have a wonderful wife. I have a wonderful family. I have a wonderful career. I have a wonderful car. I have a wonderful home. I have two dogs that I think are wonderful. You may hate them, but I think they're wonderful. We actually have my mom got me a doormat for Christmas. And it said, please text when you arrive. Don't knock. No need to get the dogs involved. Right? As soon as you knock on my door. Somebody still knocked the other day. Text. Don't knock. No need to get the dogs involved. But I'm thankful for what I have in the natural. But this isn't about my natural life. This is about our spiritual life. Because when our spiritual life is right, it impacts our natural life. It changes our natural life as well. Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He is our life. He is our life. So he's our sustenance. He's our soul. He's our breath. He's our ambitions. He's our desires. It's all Jesus. It's all about him. Our destiny is found in him. So these are some things that I've learned this last week or two about my experience to be alive. And I want to give you five real quick points that the Lord laid on my heart of how we can refocus our attention from the craziness that's going on our planet, right, to refocus on our life with God. All right, so here we go. Number one, get your shine back. Get your shine back. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So many people used to have a shine about them. What we say? When I was growing up, I never really saw it. I guess as a kid, I was like, I don't see it. Somebody would get saved, and like, there was just a shine about them. I'd be sitting there going, I don't see it. Right? I didn't see it, right? In the natural, you can't, but those spiritual eyes, you see something vibrant. You see a person dramatically, miraculously changed. From darkness to light, man, is what it says. Pastor Frank used to tell us, when they preached on that verse, darkness to light, he said, you'd be over here, and God would take all your molecules, and he'd put you over here. Y'all remember that? Y'all LFC lifers like me? Y'all remember he'd do that? He'd take all your molecules and put you over here. You were in darkness, but now you're in light. Some of you need to get your shine back. Some of you need to polish up the light bulb. You weren't made to be under a lampshade. You weren't made to be hidden. You're a city set on a hill. Get your shine back. Get it on. We've allowed our shine to be dimmed. We've allowed the grind of the daily life to take away our purpose and our energy. We have given up on dreaming and started dozing off. When you love life, you love who you are. When you love life, you love who you are. You may not love where you are, but you love who you are. Did you hear that? I'm not saying we celebrate every bad moment, every tough moment, every bad thing that goes wrong. I'm not saying we have to be celebratory in that. But I can celebrate in who I belong to every day, no matter what's happening. I can celebrate because of who I am. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I celebrate who I belong to. Who you are is dictated by whose you are. I'm his. I'm a king's kid. I'm a goofy one. Right? I'm a funny looking one. I'm a crazy one. I'm a nut. But I'm his kid. Right? I got four kids at home. Soon I'm going to be a pawpaw in a few weeks. I don't know if y'all knew that. Some of y'all may not know that. I'm going to be the best pawpaw on the planet. Hate that for y'all. Huh? But you know what? Those are my kids. Yeah, I know they got flaws, but they're still my kids. Right? They're my kids. They're not perfect, but they're my kids. You know what? Jesus says the same thing about us. He's not perfect, but he's mine. Frank Thomas? I know, man, that guy's crazy. But he's mine. He's my kid. One of my favorite Max Lucado quotes of all time. It said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture will be on it. Man, if God had got up in the 2 a.m. to get a cup of chocolate milk, I don't know if he does. I mean, chocolate milk, some of y'all think it's heavenly. It may be in heaven. If he got up at 2 a.m. to get a cup of milk, he's going to see Robert's picture and say, that's my boy. That's my boy, Robert Halstead, right there. That's mine. He's my son. You know what? That's how much he loves us. I'm his. I'm his kid. So I need to get my shine back on. I'm a kingdom person living in a different kingdom. And when you love life, you can once again find purpose, find your value when you love life. If Jesus is your Lord, your life, Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you're his. You're his kid. That's enough to celebrate. That's enough to get your shine back on. Right belief should always lead to right behavior. And if I believe I'm his, my behavior should show it too. My behavior should show it. You can't just believe in Christ. Your belief in him should create a behavior change as well. Maybe that's why your shine is dim, because your behaviors are not matching your beliefs. You can't say you're different and then live a life that is not different than you did before. Number two, his idea for our life is better. His plan, his purpose, his thoughts for my life is better than my own. It's better than my own. I'm going to say something. It hit me this week. I've lived on both sides of the cross. When Jesus was crucified, there was a thief on each side. I've been both of those guys in my life. I've doubted. I've mocked. I've not trusted. I was also that guy who says, you know what? This is my Hail Mary moment. This is all I got. All I've got right now, I'm just going to throw out a Hail Mary and see what happens. I've also been that guy that says, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I've lived on both sides. And I've come to find out his idea for my life is better than what I've chosen for my life. His way is better than my way. I've figured that out. And if you want to love this life, you need to figure that out again, that his way is better than your way. It's better. I have doubted and I have believed. I have run from Jesus and I have run to Jesus. I've come to the conclusion we're all on the same plateau when it comes to needing Jesus in our lives. We're all on the same plateau. Sin levels the playing field, folks. It levels it. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how great of a career you have. Doesn't matter how big of a house or how nice of a car. Sin levels the playing field. I said, what do you mean, Don? Well, I've coached a lot of baseball. I've started in T-ball when Caleb was four, and I've watched him all the way through. I've coached a lot of those years, whether it was T-ball or Coach Pitts or Little League or travel ball. I've been involved. I've coached a lot of ball. And I can tell you right now, I've seen some really good T-ball players. Really good. You thought, man, that kid's going to be a star. And then he gets the coach pitch, and he sees that boy throwing a ball at him. He quits. Can't handle it. And then I've seen some really good Little League baseball players, man. I mean, they threw harder, ran faster, hit it farther. You're thought, that guy's going to get drafted. He's nine, like we know. He's going to get drafted, you're thinking to yourself. And then he gets to the big field. It levels the playing field, man. When you get to the big field, it all changes. And that's what sin does to our lives. It levels the playing field. Your education, your career, your money, your bank account, your car, none of that matters. We're all beggars and thieves in the need of the very same grace. We're all just beggars and thieves in his eyes. And we all need the very same grace. Sin levels the playing field. But you know what? Jesus also levels the playing field. He gives us all access. He gives us a way to get to the Father. He said in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father unless they come by me, unless they come through me. You don't get there. Even though sin leveled it, Jesus also gave us access. He gave us access to the very throne of God. We're destined to win, church. He forgives our sin when we accept Him as Lord and Savior. I have found out by experience, it's a much better way. This is a life He gives us, a life of hope and a life with the future. We are destined to win with Christ by our side. When we follow in His footsteps, though, we must come to realize the cross will always come before the crown. Amen. You got to face the cross before you get your crown. The Bible says you got to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. It's a daily job. Number three, don't wait to be blessed. Go be a blessing. Don't wait to be blessed. Go be a blessing. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And I will make you a great nation. This is God talking to Abraham. And I'm reading through the book of Genesis. Man, Abraham is like the whole book, man. You just forget that Abraham, his fingerprints are almost through the whole book of Genesis. And said, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was told by God, I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing. I'm going to bless your life, Don, so you can be a blessing. And so many times we just like the blessing. We don't like to give a blessing. Don't wait on a blessing. Go and be the one who blesses someone's life. There's no more fulfilling moment knowing when you were able to be a blessing to someone's life. Rather than sit back and wait for someone to be one, let me say this. A blessing is not all about money. You may bless somebody's life by picking up the phone and calling them. Hey, I was thinking about you today. I was thinking about you today. You were on my mind. You were on my mind. I'm going to call you. Don't text. You can misread text, right? Call somebody. Send a card in the mail, right? An email. However, communicate some way. It's not all about money. But we got to quit waiting to be blessed. We need to go bless somebody. Be a blessing. We gave out this past year, we gave out over $3,000 in Christmas gifts. Over $3,000 we gave out in gift cards to families. And there were some, we didn't even have them on those that needed a blessing. We just said, you know what? We're going to give to that person. We're going to be a blessing without them having to ask. And it's amazing. We wanted $10,000. I'm not going to lie, the pandemic changed it. That was just all from the envelopes we took up. I'd like to start that again sometime in the spring. We didn't get to do a cake auction this year because we didn't have Wednesday nights. And we were going to have a hot dog sale. We were easily going to hit $10,000 to give out. We're going to do that this year. I'm believing in 2021, we're going to raise about 10 grand, and we're going to be able to give more gifts. We're going to give over $10,000 this Christmas to families in need. I'm really believing that's going to happen. But I'll never forget that first year we did that cake auction. We did $2,000, and we went out, and it was a Wednesday night. It was late. We had started late that year. It was like a week or so before Christmas. And Kevin and myself and Don Cosson jumps in the car, and we're going to attack some families and bless them. You know what I'm saying? And we were knocking on doors and able to hand people money from Living Faith Church or a gift card. And Kevin and I usually took the lead, but there was one house, Don said, I got this one. I'm taking the lead. I'm going to be a blessing. And Don said, I know where they live. I said, all right. That's the other Don, too. Don't get us confused. And he said, I know where they live. So we get up, and Kevin and I are just kind of standing back on the porch. Casa's knocking on the door. Hey, it's this Living Faith Church. Open the door. Kevin and I are just kind of standing there like, I mean, in Don's defense, he picks that family up and brought them to church all the time, right? So we're sitting there, he's knocking on the door. Finally, I hear a voice. Who is it? It's Living Faith Church. We need you to open the door. I don't have, all I have is a nightgown on. Well, put some clothes on. So the lady, I guess, puts a robe on. She opens the door. It's the wrong house. You know, I was thinking about that. We probably should have gave her $100 gift cards just for her troubles. Lord, I had to repent this week. So Lord, we probably should have just gave her that money anyway. All I have. Oh, so it'll go down in the LFC history. Kevin and I obviously at that point were laughing pretty hard. You know, but we were out trying to bless people. We were trying to bless people's lives. You know, and sometimes we call it pay it forward, right? I know Caleb told me around Christmas, he was like, they were going through Starbucks and somebody had had paid for their order before they got there. Of course, Caleb don't drink coffee, so it was just for Chloe. So it was probably like $5. And so they were like, well, we got to pay it forward. We'll have to buy the next person's order. It's like, hey, we want to pay for their order. It's like $27. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. All right. It's like I read a story this week. Said a man was going through a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, an older man, and he was trying to get his wallet out of his pocket. And he was struggling. And of course, doing that, the line was, he was not pulling up far enough, fast enough. And the girl behind him kept beeping on her horn, pull up, pull up! And he was mouthing, right? And he was, you know, he's like this. And so he paid for her meal. And she pulls up to the window, and they were like, oh, that gentleman paid. And all she's going, thank you. Thank you. When the man at the window got both orders and drove off. Hey, folks, old people are smart. Don't mess with them. She had to circle around and reorder, do it all over again. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But we should strive to be a blessing. Let's be the blessing that someone needs in their life. Let's be the phone call. Maybe tonight, just showing up will be a blessing to those teenagers. If I'm being honest, it'll be a blessing to them to see you out there, right? It'll, to see Michael. You got a little sway in you now? You've been playing up at Bethlehem in the Peak, man. I told you, you go up there, it's got to be like this. It'll be a blessing to them. But Don, I didn't do anything but show up. Sometimes that's all you got to do to be a blessing is show up. Just show up. Be a blessing. Don't wait to be blessed. Pay it forward. Number four, progress, not perfection. Progress, not perfection. And you'll learn to love your life when you realize you'll never be perfect. As long as you're making progress, you're in a good place. Many people get so disappointed for they always are seeking perfection. And I think we all can agree, there is no perfection. Perfection cannot be attained on this side. We can do a lot of things well, and we can do a lot of things right, but we'll never do it perfectly. How do I know that? I've ran the sweeper in my house before. I have, many a times. And the lines weren't just right. Gets ran again. Right? Any guy can ever testify? You ran a sweeper and it wasn't, the lines weren't just right. That's okay. But we don't always do things perfectly, do we? But man, we're making progress. It's a big deal in the kingdom of God. We're making progress. We might be really close, but we're not perfect. In our pursuit of perfection, we need to realize this. The key to me is progress. So many people give up on their walk with Christ because they're seeking perfection. Am I getting better is the only question I'm asking. Am I better than I was yesterday? That's the only question I'm asking myself. Did I get better today than I was on Saturday? Am I making progress? And I think that's what God's looking for in our life. Are we progressing? Because we'll never be perfect on this side. But we can progress in our walk, in our faith, Jesus Christ. Take up our cross daily. That's progress. He is seeking in our lives and progress. And that's what we should be working on as well. Progress. Bible says in Isaiah 28:10, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You don't do it all overnight. It's a little bit of progress. And are we progressing in our walk? You want to learn to love this life? Realize you'll never be perfect. But you can be making progress. You can be making progress. And last but not least, number five. You're not alone. You're not alone. If I ask you tonight, this morning, to give me a list of successful Christian life and what it would look like, we would probably come up with things like miracles, prophecy, spiritual gifts, great exploits for the kingdom of God, financial wealth, right? Those will be our answers. I think if we ask God what his list would look like, I believe it would be different. He'd say it's about relationships. It's about blessings. It's about forgiveness. It's about grace. It's about love and reconciliation. That's what God would say. The life we are called to live, it's a public life, folks. It's a public life. You may not think it is, but it's a public life. You drive through the drive-thru, it's a public life. How you treat the cashier, it's a public life. Right? It's not the cashier's fault that Walmart only has one line open. Right? It's not the cashier's fault. But yet we take it out on the cashier, don't we? Shame on us. We got our I Love Jesus t-shirt on. Just if you're going to act like that, don't wear your Living Faith shirt. Don't wear your LFC shirt, or at least cover it up. We live a public and our life's relational. In other words, we have relationships through this life. We're called to live out our faith in the context of Christian community and among those who are not even Christians. And here we are living our lives. LFC is a multi-member community of redeemed but not yet perfect people, of men and women. Like any Christian community, it consists of new converts who are certain they have all the answers, and elders who realize they don't even know enough to ask the right questions. You get wiser as you grow, I promise you. I've realized I don't have all the answers, but I've also realized I don't even know enough to even ask the right questions to God at times. It's a community made up at times of unruly, weak, wounded, committed, timid, lukewarm, fearful, and faithful people. Yet we're unified as Living Faith Church. We're called to live our lives together. Together we live our lives. Not in some pristine, problem-free environment, but in a community made up of imperfect people before a world that finds fault with us even when we are at our best. That's why we need each other. We can be in our most glorious, shining moment, and they still find fault with us. The world does. Why is that? Because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why. We can do nothing right in their eyes. But you know what? We're unified as a body of believers, and we're not alone. We're not alone in this. We're unified. The life we are called to live as public, and that is where we are able to be who we say we are. We must live and function together so that onlookers can see and experience the greatness of God's blessings through us. As we live a life of no compromise, a different life, yet a life that should attract people to Christ, not push them away. When we are told that God loves us, it's not a reference to some warm and fuzzies, or to a momentary sensual desire. When Scripture says God loves us, it means that God sees us as valuable, as being a prize. He sees us as precious. Even we have nothing to offer but ourselves, he said, I still love you. Even while we are living with total disregard for him. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. Those who walk worthy of their calling will place the same value on others as God does. We need each other. And I am thankful LFC is my family. I'm thankful that we in this building and in Facebook, we're not alone. In the highest of highs of our lives, in the lowest of lows of our lives, we have a church family that surrounds us and loves us, encourages us, pushes us along, corrects us when we need correction. We're not alone, though. I love this life, the life that Jesus gives. And I want you to get to a point where you can walk out of this place this week, today, and say, I love this life. I don't like where I'm at, but I love who I serve. And I love who I'm serving with. I want you to get to that point. Because when you do, your whole perspective will change. When you do, your whole reality will change. Your life right now may be in a crisis. Maybe total chaos. But you know what? With every crisis comes an opportunity. It's an opportunity to rise up, to step up, to move on. Some of you here today have felt like you've lost yourself. I've been there. I think we all would agree we all have been there sometimes in our life. As the song Defender says, when I thought I lost me, you knew where to find me. Gosh, man. When I think I've lost me, he knows where I am. He knows where to find me. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Jesus, if you allow him to, will pick you up and he'll pick up all your pieces and he'll put you back together. He will bring peace in the middle of chaos. He will calm the storm, or he'll get down in the boat with you and he'll put his arms around you and says, we're going to ride this one out. We're going to ride this one out together. Never turn your back on someone that will change your life forever. And that's what Jesus does. So many times we turn our back on him because we're not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to make that decision. I'm not ready to make that commitment. Never turn your back on someone who will change your life forever. Jesus will change your life. And he'll change it forever when you serve him. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this time in the Word. We thank you for the opportunity to be encouraged today that you are our life. Even though in the natural our lives aren't perfect, at times at best dysfunctional is probably the best word we can come up with. Our life in you is perfect. So I ask you to realign us and refocus us on you, Lord. Not on our world around us, not on the craziness going on around us, but on you. And when we see you for who you are, we can love this life that you bring to us in Jesus' name. Everybody keep their heads bowed and eyes closed real quick. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know he has a great plan for your life. But you know what? We have to make a choice. The choice is up to us whether we will follow or whether we will walk away. We make that choice. And maybe your life is in chaos right now. Maybe it's a crisis moment, it feels. God can turn that crisis into an opportunity if you allow him to. If you allow him to. You have a say in where you're going. I do want to say that. You get to choose. And I think we all want that in our lives. We all want the power to choose the direction of our lives. But you know what? When we're distracted, when we're not focused, we're allowing other people to make our travel plans. We're allowing other people to dictate the direction we go rather than God himself, rather than Jesus directing our lives. So I want you to know this morning, you can get your shine back on. You can realize that you're not alone. You can realize you can be a blessing to other people. But the first step is to follow Him. So if you're in this place, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you just want prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. It's between me, you, and God. Maybe you feel like you've lost yourself. Maybe you feel like you don't know who you are. You feel lost. God can find you. Would you raise your hand up and down real quick? Say, Don, that's me. I need prayer. Anyone at all? I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Maybe you're in this place and you've lost your shine. You've allowed everything that's going on in our world to grab your attention. You're focusing on the headlines rather than on the Word of God, rather on the promises that God has laid out for our lives. And you just want prayer because of all that's going on. You want to be able to refocus. If that's you, would you raise your hand up and down real quick? Say, Don, I need help refocusing. I see that hand. Anyone else? Amen.